We come to this place for magic. We come to pop overview, to laugh, to cry, to drink, because we need that, all of us. That indescribable feeling we get when we hit the play button and go somewhere we've never been before. Sound that I can feel. Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this. Not just entertained, but somehow reborn. Together. Pop Poor Review. We make movie podcasts better.
May thy knife chip and shatter.
May thy knife chip and shatter.
Welcome back, everybody. Have you popped open a beer or poured yourself a glass of wine yet? Because you're listening to Pop Poor Review with Jimmy Chico.
Hi.
Kelly Gong.
Hi.
And myself, Matt Chico. We are the movie podcast where we journey through the IMDb top 250 movies list. If you don't have a drink yet today, you can try today's inspired drink based off number 10, Dune Part 2. The drink is the Water of Life. It is hypnotic, rum, blue curacao, and Sprite. Oh. And just before we recorded, I saw a... The busing film got me again.
Did you really think that was real?
I thought for the color. I didn't think they were actually drinking it.
Matthew,
I thought for the color.
Since Kelly didn't see it,
it was the Water of Life in Dune Part 2 was created using UV blue raspberry flavored vodka. But I thought they were just getting it for color and they were drinking something else. So to my defense, but then I looked up as I was doing it, I said the busing films. I said, God damn it.
I miss the days where I didn't have to read the handle to know if it was a fake account or not.
But I like the busing film too, because they've liked a few of my tweets. So, you know. Anyway, Dune Part 2, number 10. This is the came out this year. So
it's the newest entry to the top 250.
Yes, it is as of now.
Whoa.
As we're recording, it's number 10. It could be a different number when you're listening. But anyway.
It could go up. It could go down. Or
it could be number
one.
It could be 250. Yeah.
We'll never know.
The director, Denis Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve.
Writer, Denis Villeneuve, John Spatz, and Frank Herbert. Starring the large cast, Timothée Chalamet. Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Dave Bautista, Christopher Walken, Leo Sado, Stellan Skarsgård, and Charlotte Rampling. What a cast. IMDb rating, 8.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomato score, critics, 93%. Audience is 95%. Letterboxd, 4.6 out of 5. And that's all currently as we're filming. Box office right now is $123.3 million domestic, $223 million worldwide. It's already beaten Dune 1, the entire domestic run for Dune 1. Do you think it will be a billion-dollar movie?
Also, just really quick, keep in mind that this movie, you know, is still very new and things are changing about it. So if you listen to it, the numbers are a little off. Just keep that in mind.
No.
I need to see how it does in the next few weeks.
I don't think it's doing as well in China as they thought it would.
I don't think that there is a lot. I mean, until there's some friendly fire with Kong versus Godzilla, I feel like, you know, Dune, I feel like, isn't an Asian film. It's very muted. The Asian countries like these like big blockbusters, and I feel like this is like an indie blockbuster. So I feel like this will do better in like the European countries, whereas in like Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire is very flashy and colorful and has a lot of CGI.
But you're also talking about characters that originate from like Asian countries, like of course they're gonna like do better.
No, I know, but I'm just like, I feel like though, like that's the movie they want. Like they want that, not this sepia toned.
I thought Dune Part 1 did pretty well in China.
It could have. I have no idea.
I think it made like 400 million worldwide.
You can't look at Dune 1's box office because it was COVID and it was also on HBO Max.
Yeah, but it still turned a profit. That's the thing. Even during a COVID movie, it turned like a decent profit from its production budget. So it's like, if it was able to pull that off, like, I don't think it's going to hit the billion. I don't. I hope I'm wrong because I love this movie, but I just don't think it's going to pull off a billion.
I think it could hit a billion. I don't think it's definite. I think it could hit a billion, but if I think if it doesn't hit a billion, it's gonna be very close though.
It's
It's
definitely
gonna be
gonna
like
be profitable.
800, maybe even 900 million. But I do think it can get there if the buzz about this movie stays as big as it is right now. Like, I see, I mean, I don't know how truthful these tweets are, but I see people saying, like, seeing Dune for the 10th time, and I'm like, it has its fan base, definitely. So I think it, if it stays that, you know, big as it is right now, because I feel like it's a very talked about movie right now, it could probably get there. But if it starts to fizzle out, but there's not much coming out this month, I feel like, Ghostbusters, I guess Ghostbusters and Dune do have similar
I
fan
would
bases
like,
of like guys and stuff like that.
I would like to say that I think Dune 2 will keep the IMAX theaters over Ghostbusters.
Oh, is it?
Definitely the 70 millimeter ones, and I think they might be splitting the other ones.
Oh, okay. Then that might be a
so
difficult
that,
situation.
That's a big. I think Kong versus Godzilla will get all the IMAX screens back.
But that's a whole month at that
millimeter.
Point, though.
No, except for the 70 millimeter. Because like if you look, it's still like very hard to get tickets for those theaters.
I did look online at the Lincoln Square Theater in New York City. The 315s are still, it's not selling out the 315 AM ones, but it is 80% packed, which I was like, okay, there's still a lot of buzz about this movie. So it could get there. We'll have to wait and see. And then Oscars, we don't know because it just came out. Do you think it could get like an Oppenheimer level number of Oscars?
It's yeah. Too early.
Do you think it can break into the acting ones?
That's what's going to be hard. Everyone who they keep saying, like, oh, this is going to get it, I'm like, I think this person was better. Everyone keeps saying, like, Timothée Chalamet, and I'm like, but...
I've heard Austin Butler.
Austin Butler I can see being the strongest one, but I like Rebecca Ferguson.
I just, because a lot of people are saying with Timothée Chalamet, too, it's like, this is a very, like, his performance changes throughout the movie so much, and, like, he's captivating by the end. I feel like him or Austin Butler, I mean, I would love to see Zendaya, but I think it's really between Austin Butler and Timothée Chalamet. I feel like if they can get in, I think they can pull like Oppenheimer numbers for the Oscars. Because right now they have all, they can get nominated for like every tech. That's like a guaranteed.
There's no original song.
Well, I meant every tech they are eligible for.
I feel like we're going to have a Mad Max Fury Road movie.
Where
on.
It's all tech and not acting, not above
yeah.
the line.
Yeah. Even though I think that, like, I even, like, look, I wasn't the biggest fan of Timothée. To be honest, he's a good actor. I just don't like generally like care for his characters, but him as Paul is like the only role that he's been in that I've actually truly enjoyed. And I'm not gonna lie when I say that at the end of the Dune Part Two, he does blow me away.
And I will
he
say,
does.
I mean, I haven't seen Wonka, so I know, but like besides Wonka, I feel like he's normally doing similar roles. And this one, I feel like
never mind. I thought you were like, a lot of his roles are similar to Dune. And I was like, I don't think Call Me By Your Name is similar to Dune.
No, I feel like his roles before like Dune and Wonka, I feel like were sort of similar. And I feel like
he always plays a douchey kid.
Yeah. Or like a very like secluded kind of like, too cool for you kind of character. This one, I feel like he did do a really interesting arc, and I feel like if they push the right thing, if they can do a good campaign for him, and if he gets nominated, I think they're going to have a lot of nominations.
I think this is the first film I've seen that I'm like, okay, he can, like...
Yeah.
Look,
lead
I...
At, like, yeah.
He can lead a movie. I like Call Me By Your Name, but it's not one of those movies where it's like... Like, the role of Paul, from what I've seen and what I've read about in the Dune books and stuff, it's like, you know, they say he's, like, the Messiah or whatever. Like, you have to have a very strong presence. And he is not physically intimidating whatsoever. He has the body of a 12-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, but his acting was so charismatic and so big that I was like, okay, yeah, I'll follow you into battle.
Yeah.
You know?
It was, and like when I saw it, I saw it twice, and when I saw it the second time, there's that switch as soon as he takes the water of life where it's like, it's a whole new character, but you still feel the same character he was before within his performance, but it's a whole like different layer of it.
Yeah.
And I do think if they can get an acting nomination, if they can break it into that, I think there's gonna be, I'm not saying a lot of wins, but a lot of nominations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, time for some shotgun facts. Jimmy, do you want to lead us off?
Stellan Skarsgård's body makeup took 8 hours to apply and 2 hours to remove for every day of shooting. He didn't drink anything and took Imodium in order to avoid having to use the bathroom.
That's dedication.
I know people who do that.
Because they're in Dune Part 2 or just in general?
Just
because
they don't want to go to the bathroom.
Wow. Stars, they're just like us.
I know.
Kelly, your shotgun fact?
Okay, so, all right. Emperor Shaddam IV is described in the book as an old man, but his shape is a man in his 30s. Fans online nominated these people for Emperor Shaddam. Now, this is Christopher Walken's character. Mads Mikkelsen, Viggo Mortensen, Tony Leung, Denzel Washington, and Charles Dance for the role of Emperor before Christopher Walken was cast. And I'm
Charles
like,
Dance has too similar of a body type to Christopher
who's Charles
Walken,
Dance?
I think. From Game of Thrones.
Tywin Lannister.
Lannister.
Oh, the guy from also like Godzilla too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just, I can't judge him. I feel like him and Florence Pugh, I can't fully judge, unless you read the book and you like know what they're supposed to like do later on. I can't judge them, I feel like, till the third movie. Because I feel like they, it's like judging Zendaya in the first movie.
Well, this isn't based on judging him like in like his acting or anything in the movie.
Oh, it's more appearance?
It's based on the book.
Oh,
so
okay.
Like they said, he's an old man, but he looks like he's a man in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So Christopher Walken didn't look like that. Christopher Walken looked like if I flicked him, all of the bones in his body would completely shatter. And he did it's not like he did a bad job. I mean, I personally, now that I read all those other actors, I'm like, I personally would have rather seen one of them versus Christopher Walken.
Denzel Washington would have been pretty cool.
No, you know what though? I
like Viggo Mortensen.
I think Christopher Walken was a good choice.
No, I agree. But like, also, it would have changed the story if this is a guy who looks like he could fight for himself. I feel like it changes the whole final battle.
Yeah, because the final battle, he's like, "I'm not doing that, Austin Butler. You can go up there and die."
Exactly.
And then, I mean, Josh Brolin was like, "No, don't worry, I got it." And he's like, "No." So,
I think it would have changed the ending a little. It wouldn't have had such a pronounced. It would have been different, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I think it would have been different seeing a little bit more of a powerful person kneeling before Paul, Timotei, and like kissing his like ring and stuff versus a frail old man.
But I think that was powerful because he took down the House Atreides. He did all that. I mean, you don't have to. He was a smart. He didn't have to be physically daunting. He had to just be mentally daunting. And he's like, I'm not. Like, even like also when they go into like the Emperor's room, and they break in there. I mean, he still pushes Florence Pugh's character behind him.
So you're saying he needs more of a, as long as there's a presence, it doesn't need to be like physically fit,
yeah.
As long as he has a presence. Okay, I get
yeah,
that.
Because I mean, literally, Florence Pugh's character had an outfit made of knives. She could have just
like
spun
zippers.
Around and just like slashed everyone.
She could have done a Wonder Woman pose and just started twirling.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said in an interview, she's like, pretty much it got to the point though, where like these costumes were amazing, but Denis was like straight up, he was like, I love these, but like this is so impractical to shoot you because then like
the
taking it off. It's like taking it on. She's like, so that's why at one point, like, I'm not even wearing the mask they made for me. Like no one has seen it. And then it's off in like pretty much the end of the scene because it's just like it was too much. I think like, okay, well, back to the Christopher Walken thing. He did great. I'm not saying he didn't do great. My only problem was with the way, you know, everyone, the characters of Dune that I've seen, Christopher Walken has a very distinct type of voice, an accent coming through. And so when he was speaking, it kind of took me out a little bit because, you know, I still felt like, you know, Christopher Walken, the old school, like, well, the way he speaks like this, you know, I still kind of felt that when we're in a period or a setting where we have regal people speaking with like either British or just like very properly type of accents, and then like there's him.
He did try his best.
I mean, Kelly, I know you disagree, but Austin Butler did sound like Elvis for a hot second in this
movie. I disagree with that. I disagree, but I'm not gonna like go hard against it because like I can't stand listening to him in interviews, to be quite honest. Because I actually got so annoyed that I was like, let me just see how he was right before Elvis. And like he did this random panel with like random people in 2019, right before he started shooting Elvis, like his hair was dyed black and everything. And he sounded normal, like completely normal. And then I listen to him now, I'm like, there's no way you're not even trying. Like, I cannot stand it.
And it's Jimmy, when I saw it the second time, because the backstory, when we saw it together, and I went to Kelly, I said, Kelly, am I crazy or did he sound like Elvis for like the first scene? And she's like, absolutely not. I said, okay, maybe it's just like all I know of him is Elvis voice. Like, that's what he's become. So then I go to Jimmy, and he's like, I'm like, Jimmy, did he sound like Elvis? And like, Jimmy didn't even miss a beat. He's like, absolutely. I was like, okay. So obviously, it's just like for people's different like hearing, because I watched it again and the scene right before he goes out into the battlefield, it's just that raspiness that I was like, I feel like that might have been his first scene or whatever, because it just sounded
he like was
the,
like he,
it's the raspiness.
He was like, my people are hungry. That sounded like Forrest Gump.
That did not sound like he did not say it like that. He literally
people are hungry.
He did not say it like that. He was like, my girls are hungry, like with that raspy, and so I didn't hear it.
My girls are hungry.
He's now Forrest Gump mixed with Elvis.
No, but I didn't hear it, but maybe I have to see it again, even though I've seen it twice already.
So yeah, before we move on, let me finish mine. I have it because it's also I want to ask a question about it.
Okay.
The director said he will not release any deleted scenes, explaining, I'm a strong believer that when I am not in when it's not in the movie, it's dead. I kill darlings and it's painful for me. Sometimes I remove shots and I say, I can't believe I'm cutting it out. I feel like it's like a samurai opening my guts. It's painful. So I cannot go back and create a Frankenstein, try and reanimate things that I've killed. It's too painful. When it's dead, it's dead. It's dead for a reason. So I wanted to know, like, do you think, do you even want to see these scenes? Cause they cut out like two whole characters. Do you think he's right in that way, where that he should leave it that way? Or would you like to see those scenes?
So from rumors, I heard Tim Blake Nelson's character was supposed to play Lea Seydoux's husband in the movie. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, there's no
you
room
didn't
for
need
that.
Him.
You absolutely didn't need that.
That would have confused me, actually.
She has such a small part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an important part, but it's such a small part that I'm just like,
why
would you need him?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, exactly, maybe later, maybe in Messiah. Like, we can have him back and we can be like, where were you?
But
while Austin Butler was putting his hand in her box, but
but it's also just the other character, I forgot his name, but
one of like the AI, like not AI, but like the robot, not robot people.
It was the guy, he's also in Civil War, who screams, get in the car. I don't know his name.
He's also in a lot of stuff. He was in that heist movie with Ben Stiller
Town Heist, yeah.
Tower Heist. He just
they had a good reason for his character getting cut out. That I understood.
Yeah, I understood it, but it's also like he really like I wasn't even like worried about him after the first movie. I was just
exactly.
Like, oh, he's dead.
I thought he died.
Well, I feel like you can leave it up to now, whatever, because they said it was more of a Bene Gesserit story, so they wanted those people by the council as like the council instead of like the like robot. I guess I don't know really what to call him, but. That made sense. And I get the whole husband thing, too, because, like, that would have just been random and confusing if you're all of a sudden, the next scene where she's showing she's pregnant, she's like, here's my husband.
Yeah, well, like, she's doing it for the Emperor.
No, I know. Or she's doing it for the Reverend,
no, she's
the,
doing
the
for
Reverend
the,
Mother.
She's doing it for the Bene Gesserit, not the Emperor.
Oh, yeah. The Reverend, but yeah, there's many Reverend Mothers. Can there only be one Reverend Mother? Like, are they fighting for the top Reverend
Mother?
No,
I think it's like each tribe.
Is like each like group of people have their own Reverend
yeah,
Mother.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's it's not the eldest woman, but it's the one with the most knowledge.
Yeah.
And you have to be a Bene Gesserit to be a Reverend Mother.
They have to drink the water of life, and they said Bene Gesserits are trained to transmutate that poison.
I understand that, but what I was going to say is like when she drank it, the other Rever mother was confused of like she's like, oh no, what have we done? She's pregnant. So like, did they not know that she could transmutate the poison?
Well, no, like it doesn't matter whether or not you can transmutate the poison, it still affected the child.
Yeah, now the
Oh,
baby
so
can
they were worried about the
talk.
child, not her. Okay, that's what I was double. Okay.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about her. They're like, oh fuck, this kid's gonna be fucked up. And
She's gonna
like
be too powerful. And she was
base
already powerful in the womb.
well, it's not so
She
much
was
that she's
like,
too powerful, she's gonna go crazy because that's what
yeah.
happens in the books.
No, I'm just saying though, but like just from being in the womb, looked like she was able to kind of control what Rebecca Ferguson's character to kind of lead up to
No,
like him to become the Messiah.
I don't think that's true. I think Rebecca Ferguson always had that. That was always her plan.
I think the what is it called? The water of life plus the baby talking to her, I think kind of manipulated her.
No, I always feel like she had, because she was always like, use the voice. Like,
But she
you need
wasn't that
to.
crazy about it, where it's like, you have to do this, you have to, like, she was
Well, now
becoming kind of
she
mad about it.
has power. Well.
I think that she, I don't think this was always her plan, because when I read more about like Dune and the mythology, it was like the only reason she gave birth to Paul was because she truly loved the Duke. So
Because it was supposed to be a
ostracized.
daughter, right?
Yeah, she was supposed to do
Yeah.
it, give a daughter, but she, because she actually fell in love with him and wanted to give him what he needed, which was an heir, a male heir, she gave birth to a boy. But I think that from Dune 1 up until she drank the water of life, that she was in the same boat as Paul. And she knows what's going to happen, but she wanted to prevent it as much as possible. But
I agree
then it
with
got
that.
to the point that she was just like, I have to go through with it. And then drinking the water, she was just like, I know what I have to do.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break. Before we do, Jimmy, give us a summary for Dune Part 2.
Paul Atreides unites with Shani and the Fremen while on a warpath of revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. Facing a choice between the love of his life and the fate of the known universe, he endeavors to prevent a terrible future only he can foresee.
And we'll be right back.
Hi guys, this is, well, you don't want to know. No, really, it's You Don't Want to Know, the podcast about things that you say that you don't want to know, but you really do want to know. My name is Mag, and I join you every other week and talk about things that make you uncomfortable, but for some reason you can't shut it off. That's the YDWK podcast.
And we're back talking Dune Part 2. So as we always do, do you think it should be at number 10? Do you think it should be on the list at all? Kelly, we'll start with you.
It's so hard because I love this movie and I love this series so much. Definitely deserves to be on this list. I'm gonna say just, and I'm saying this because I'm on the Dune hype right now, I'm gonna say I'm fine with it at 10.
You're also the, I think I can say this, that you're the only one that likes all both movies a lot.
Yeah, I
On
love
this
the
group.
first. Yeah, so Matt and Jimmy aren't huge fans of the first one. I love the first one from the first time I saw it, and since it came out, I've probably watched it 10 or more times because I just genuinely love it. I love the world building. And Dune 2, I love it just as much. I am one of the detractors, though, that will say that I kind of like Dune 1 a little bit better.
Oh,
I
really?
don't know why. I just really love the first one.
You like Jason Momoa.
I also love Jason Momoa. I
Let
am very biased towards
me
Jason
ask you this.
Momoa.
If Jason Momoa is in this second one, which one would you like better?
You know, the thing is, I just like the beginning. I know that like Jimmy and I just watched the part one reissue, but we saw it again and I just don't know. I just love the first one. I have no idea why I like it, but it's like when I say I like it more, it's literally like 0.5% more.
Oh, okay.
Like it's not like whoop, it's like literally like this
Oh,
much.
okay. Jimmy, do you think it should be on the list? And do you think 10 is a good number?
It definitely deserves to be on the list. And I mean, as of right now, I think it does deserve to be up there because we have, I know at least in the top 10, there's two sequels that beat its original. We have Godfather 2 and The Dark Knight, and I think that this is on the level of those two movies where it just takes on what the first one did and just builds it even more, and it's higher stakes. I mean everyone was calling it Dune's it's like the new Empire Strikes Back, where it's just better. And
but now it's higher than Empire Strikes Back. Do you think that, like, do you think it should even be that high to be,
I
or
think
like a little lower?
As
than
of
that?
Right now, as of right now, top 10, I would like to see where it settles. I definitely think it should be in the top 20. I think it's one of the better movies I've seen in the last couple of years that I'm like, this definitely deserves to be like the new Lord of the Rings series. Like, it's got that vibe going for it.
It's been a long time that we've seen a movie franchise that we can consider an epic that is successful that we haven't seen in a TV format. Because lately, TV's the one that's been ruling over type of epic type of stories. And we haven't seen, you know, like with Game of Thrones, just like in general, like TV's thrived on it more. And we've said before that movies that are trying to be epics, kind of like space opera, like these type of movies, just in general, haven't been doing well in the theaters, like at all. And I don't know why, but the Dune is the first one in a really long time that I feel like has really hit the nail on the head.
I mean, when I first saw Dune on HBO Max, I remember being like, I didn't care for it. I think I would have liked it a lot better if I was sitting in a theater. One, because when I'm at home, you know, you got a lot of distractions. And I just felt like it was meant to be seen on the big screen. And when I did see it on the big screen, I did like it much better. But the second one, it's almost 3 hours. It flies by. I also like Zendaya's character a lot. So like when the first movie ended, I was like, I'm going to love the second one because Zendaya is going to have a huge part in it.
Influence for you.
Well, yeah, but then like, well, the third one,
he might love that the most.
Yeah.
if it's got Zendaya and Florence Pugh in major roles, and they bring Lea Seydoux back and Rebecca Ferguson, I mean,
if they bring Jason Momoa back, I'm literally gonna
he's
die.
He's dead.
No, just, in the books, he comes back
as a real live boy.
No, they have these things called golas, and the same thing, and like, they're almost like clones that they bring back to life. So it's like a thing. I don't think they're going to do it, but if they did do it, I would just be like, perfect movie, number one forever.
And possibly, and Anya Taylor-Joy.
The cast, they're literally casting the like hottest cast of like this generation. Like people are like, are loving, I think that's also in its favor. And that's why the whole strike, like they were like, we're stupid if we release this without our people promoting it. Cause it's like, we have the, like some of the biggest people of this generation, like promoting it. And they're like, we would just, and like, look, and it worked in their favor. I think that the promotion and all that helped in becoming like a huge phenomenon to see the movie. But I kind of agree with both of you guys. I think it should be on the list 100%. I, like Kelly said, I did not like this movie. Granted, I haven't seen it on a big screen. Could that change my opinion? Maybe. But I wasn't really looking forward to it until people were calling it a masterpiece. So I was like, okay, let me see. It's a great movie. I don't think it's a masterpiece. I think it's there is some imperfections in it, but it's an incredible movie where I do think it should be. As of right now, it's too new. I can't exactly know where I want to do. I feel like movies sometimes develop as they go on. You see it a few times, you love more things about it. So could it be 10 level? Yes. But right now, I think more like 20s or 30s, personally.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, like right now we're in the Dune hype.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really be like, say where it is. Like, I know for a fact that it doesn't deserve to be 10. I'm saying I'm not upset that it's 10.
Yeah, yeah. It's also, this is the first movie we've done where it's still in theaters.
Yeah,
and it's still
we
like,
done it
yeah.
In a while.
So
but
that,
again,
it's interesting.
I'm a sucker for fantasy, so that's why I love movie epics. Because I don't have to have filler episodes or purposeful like cliffhangers or anything like that that really get me. But I can't even remember the last time I saw like a movie epic like this that really like blew me away.
Unless
maybe like Endgame, but I don't really consider that like this type of like franchise epic. Like it is, but it isn't.
I feel like the last one I saw was maybe Catching Fire, Hunger Games. Is that I feel like was like such a huge movie. It was like leading off of the first one, which was a huge hit.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
And it was better than the first one.
Are you basing it on like epics or like just in general sequels? The next
one? Like epics. I feel like I mean, they kind of botched the last two.
Yeah, the last
two. But the book, their source material isn't the best. But I mean, like Catching Fire, that was an epic.
Yeah, I'll agree with Jimmy with that 100%. I've watched Catching Fire so many times. Yeah.
Catching Fire is one of the few things where like the book literally like translated perfectly. This one, I heard he made a lot of changes to the book because apparently a lot of different stuff happens. But I mean,
he probably could have made it a little more, accessible to the normal moviegoer. And not have it be like crazy sci-fi.
Well, I think he did make a very like, yes, and like that was one of the me and Kelly were talking about this right before we started recording. Like, the three things I didn't love about this movie was the beginning. For some reason, the tone wasn't really meshing for me. I feel like it, like the humor was. I wasn't expecting the humor in the beginning of the movie, and I feel like compared to the first one, the tone wasn't the same. It settled into the same tone. With like the Harvey Bardem's humor and Dave Bautista's kind of just like wimping out at everything. I feel like the character didn't feel like that in the first one. I also just didn't like Dave Bautista in this role at all. I think he was screaming and that's it. And then the third thing is, this is a my thing and not a movie issue, that the lore just kind of got too much for me. That like I was telling Kelly, like when I was trying to, I wish I could like go back 10 seconds in the theater just because I wanted to like understand everything. And they were calling Timothée Chalamet so many different names. It was like Mahadib, Yusol, and the Quazawat Hadarich. Like I just
and
got
Paul.
Confused and Paul. But then like there were the other
Lisan Al-Ghaib.
Yeah, and the Lisan Al-Ghaib. And then there was just all the other characters that I was just like, the lore I think got too much for me, that it was taking me out. But I can't deny that it is an amazing movie and like a pillar of like, this is how you make a movie. I can't deny that. It's just those three things can't make me say this is a masterpiece.
The three things that you brought up, though, I'm not disagreeing with them, because I even told Jimmy after we saw something, or we were talking about Dune Part One, I was like, who is Lisan Al-Ghaib? And who's the Kwisatz Haderach? And Jimmy's
I had
like,
to read everything, yeah.
And Jimmy was like, oh, it's the same thing, but different names. And I'm like, but why are they calling them so different? Like, even I was confused, too. It took me a lot of watches of Dune to like actually like realize, okay, this is what it is. And I also had to Google.
But a lot of the reviews said they want to watch it a few times to really get the scope of it. And I think that's why I might want to be this at 10 after I see it a few times and after I understand everything and really appreciate it for what it is. But right now it's just like, it's a lot for me.
Well, it's basically, like Jimmy keeps saying, it's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings is so similar, where it wasn't until I was older that I finally understood the breadth of it. I also did read Return of the King. That's the only Lord of the Rings book I did read. Me trying to read that at that. When did the Return of the King come out?
In the 2003?
Yeah. So I was like
or
in
five.
I was like in like sixth grade. And I was trying to read that fucking book, and it took me so long because there's like a dictionary of elven words in the back of the book. And I had to, there was a lot of flipping. It was a really hard book to read. Like, I didn't even know what the fuck they were saying half the time.
And it's funny you're comparing the two, because from what I was reading of the reviews and people on social media, they're saying that Dune's a very hard book to, even the actors were saying it's a hard book to grasp because it's such a big world. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, where am I? So I can, which I give a lot of credit to Denis, because he did kind of, I don't like the first one because it's pretty much just world building and not really a story. But this one did add the two of them more seamlessly together. I do wish there was a little less comedy. That was kind of random. But it is what it is.
I think the reason that this movie also just did so much better is that it gave us what was promised in the first movie.
Yeah,
everything that was promised in the first movie, the epic, the battles, the love story, Rebecca Ferguson's characters, like
sandworms,
everything. It's like
riding a sandworm.
riding a sandworm.
Didn't they
eating
but,
popcorn
not
out
oh,
of
no.
a sandworm?
Yeah.
Well, that was a, I
That,
had that
that's
as
a whole
a bullet
different
point to talk about. I was going to say,
thing.
after seeing the movie, do you want a popcorn bucket? No.
But it delivered. That's what I think a lot of movies are failing at this time. And I think that's where the MCU is currently failing at, is that we're not getting anything that we were promised, and that's why the MCU is faltering so terribly, and people just don't want to see superhero movies anymore. And we've been so starved for like epic movies with great special effects, great storytelling, and great acting all around, that Dune Part Two is just like so refreshing.
And on that too, it's I was wa someone did an interview with one of these like the visual effects guys, and they asked, they're like, why is Dune's visual effects so good compared to a lot of the ones we critique? And they said, we went in with a plan. We knew what the visual effects were going to be, and we knew how to shoot it, we knew how to edit it, and it was sort of like we knew we were kind of making it before the movie started, you know, and like in the pre-production stuff. And then one of the people who did the interview, they said that's the issue with going in with not a direct plan that really can't be broken with, and then doing a bunch of editing and changing the movie post, because then you're not there's just all this new stuff you have to make, and it's like it's not going to be as good as the stuff you planned that we prepared for. And I thought
No
that was a really
reshoots.
good
No
ex
more. No more. No more reshoots. Like 3 days before the movie comes out. Let's
Well,
just
no, yeah,
start
and I thought
that.
that was a really good way to describe it and say why certain movies are better visual effects than others. I think there's just a better plan behind it.
No, yeah, 1,000%. That's why the creator. I watched one with the creator,
100. Yeah,
and they
exactly.
were like, "We knew what we were doing," and it's just, it's like, it's not a hard concept.
Even
Dune.
Godzilla Minus One, they were like, yeah, we did it for this little because like we used a puppet, but we knew exactly what we wanted.
Yeah,
But
like it
they
makes
also
no sense.
know what going in, like, okay, oh my God, I just had his name in my head. The director, Gareth Edwards from The Creator. He knows how to work on a budget because he started out as an indie filmmaker and he knows special effects. So he's like, okay, so I need to just make this movie. I like we can't have random deleted scenes that we're gonna just cut at the last second and put all that money into making that. We need to literally just film what we need to film. We need to film it how we need to film it, and then we need to just move on. No more last minute things. No more adding things. No more
I mean, you
this. No
could do
more that.
reshoots, but not the day before the premieres. You brought up a good point, Kelly, where it was like they delivered, and I feel like that's what's like riding on the third one, is that they deliver what they kind of promised with this. And I feel like they added a lot more. Like, I love the love story between the two. I thought I wasn't going to, but it added such a refresher to these like big moments they were doing. And I would love the next one to kind of go more into like more emotions that they like, because obviously this was a revenge story, so like you
Well,
can't show that much, but show like tug at the heartstrings a little more, kind of balance that. Like, that'd be cool to see for the third one.
I don't think there you can as to where I think it's going. You're gonna have Paul and Princess Arulian together, and you gotta have Chani like being like
But that's an
pissed.
emotions that you could pull
No, I
from and
know,
stuff
but
like
I
that.
think it's going to be a revenge on her. And he's also, I consider him and Jessica villains
Yeah.
of the story now.
It's interesting.
They're
I don't.
not the heroes. Johnny is the real hero. He's a villain now.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily see that 100%, but like
Because
I get what you're saying though.
he had his visions of people, billions of people dying. We don't know who the woman is. Is it Jessica? Is it the unborn child, his sister? Like, you don't know who that's gonna be, but he still went there, and now he's fulfilling the prophecy. So if he fulfills the prophecy,
It's genocide.
he knows.
But now let me ask you this, is that, but like, just to play devil's advocate, is that sort of his, he because he didn't want to, fulfill this prophecy. He was trying to stay, like, trying not to do that, but then like it was almost like, is that his quote unquote hero sacrifice that he had to?
Well, it can be a hero sacrifice, but he's no longer a hero at this point, because based on what I've read about the books and where it's going, first of all, I don't even know where this third one is going, because they changed Zendaya's character Chani, they changed her ending so significantly that I'm not sure how they're going to execute the third movie, especially like, no, kind of, again, like, this is from Dune Wiki, this is like media, this is a lot of research. Knowing where the story goes, I'm not sure how they're going to do that with the changes that they did make. So, but it, I think it is very clear that Paul, though a hero and made a hero sacrifice, he will no longer be a hero going forward, especially in the third movie, because I don't think Paul makes any decisions or makes hesitations anymore into being like, oh, should I do this? He's just like, I have to fucking do this. I'm doing this. You will die. Bye-bye.
But it's also, that's, but it's also making it very, I think that's also what's making it not fresh, but like, it's changing up the normal kind of narrative, which I think is why people are also loving it too, because it's not just the normal thing that you see. It's really adding different layers to it, which I did like, because I think we talked about Empire Strikes Back, and I didn't love that it kind of ended on like a cliffhanger and stuff like that. This one did, but it still had like a full arc that was completed of him kind of becoming who he was supposed to be before it ended on a cliffhanger, and I think they did that really well. They didn't just leave off a whole story and be like, that's for the third one. They ended it and then were like, here's some more, I feel like. Which I liked a lot. And for the third one, I hope they play into that he's a villain, but you're rooting for him, sort of like Thanos. I think that could be a really cool thing to see.
The ending was great. It wasn't like the first one where you're like, motherfucker. Like, when it ends, when you're just like, Jesus Christ. You're just like, okay, it ended, but I feel like I saw it. Like, I feel like I saw it. And it sounds weird when I say I saw it, but it's like, I saw a full character arc.
I feel like it wasn't a trailer for the next movie, pretty much.
Yeah, and it, you know, it wasn't Avengers, what's the middle one that everyone always...
Age of Ultron?
Yeah, it wasn't Age of Ultron, where it was just like, okay. It was just like, I saw a movie, I saw fully fleshed out characters, I got what I wanted from the first movie, now I want more.
Yeah, and I give him a lot of credit, because that's hard to do, because I, like we said in our Empire Strikes Back episode, that, you know, Spider-Verse, they do it, but not fully... They don't go 100%. This one like was like, we're ending our story. Here's the end. Now here's the new for the third one, which I liked.
Exactly. And I think that's why it's so similar to Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Even in like Lord of the Rings, like you do have like somewhat cliffhanger-y type things, but like you still see the characters go through something in like a fully fleshed out story. Like it's not just like, oh, here's a little bit here. Here's a little bit there. Here's that. It's like, no, like, this is how you make a franchise. This is how you make successful sequels. This is how you make successful, like, I don't know why it's threequels. I can't think of, like, the trilogies. You have to have, each movie can connect, but it has to have a purpose. It has to have a beginning, middle, and an end, no matter what.
Exactly.
And that's where we're failing. That's where franchises are failing now.
Now, let me ask you a question. Because we talked about Austin Butler. Do you, and like me and Kelly, we had this conversation. Do you think he is in that list of like greatest villains of all time?
I think that I'm not sure of, right now, again, I'm riding in a Dune high, so I'm going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because my favorite type of villains and who what I think is encompassing of a villain, a good villain, is someone that I don't know what the hell they're going to do at every turn. That makes me nervous every single time I watch them on screen. Look, I knew he was going to die in this movie. I knew we were never going to see Austin Butler's character again, because that's just the nature of the book. And that's what happens, like, you know, even in the other movie. I knew we were only getting him for one movie. But even so, like, I got really scared every time he did anything. And I was like, anyone could go. Like, you know?
He was very good. And at first, when I saw it the first time, I was like, I had to let it like sit and think, because right now he's great, but I don't know if I can say all time. Seeing it the second time, I do think it's, maybe it's the hype too. I've seen it a few times. I would might put him up in greatest of all time. Not like number one, but like he made me want more of him, which, like, if you're leaving the audience with more, like wanting more, I think that's a good job. Also, like you said, the kind of chaos of it all, like sort of like Joker type of vibes. And it was just so, he was just so good. I think he played it just enough, like, psychotic, but also like, because a lot of people are saying like the whole end part where like why he doesn't run away with like Dave Bautista's character is because he's like, I'm interested in what's going on. Like, I want to know what's going to happen. And he feels like he can probably play a part. And also people are saying like, he's also like almost turned on by like what's going on.
Yeah, he wants to see that table, but he's also such a sadist that he's just like, yes. But like, it's the same thing. I saw this movie twice, and even the second time we saw it, I still got nervous at the last final battle, and I was like, I know he's not. Okay, spoilers again. I know he's not going to kill Chani, but I know her character dies, and I'm really scared that he is going to kill Chani right now.
Exactly,
when he was
yeah.
Stalking towards her, and I was just like, I have no fucking idea. Or even when he went up to the Baron and they did that kiss thing, which
Yeah.
improvised. But when they did that, I was like, is he gonna slit his throat? I thought he might kill him too.
Well, that was the thing, just of him testing the knife. His introduction might be one of the best. I think they captured his essence and everything they needed to within that one scene. And then when they went back to Paul, I was like, oh my God, I forgot this is a movie about him, really. Like, I was so entranced by like that scene every time, both times I've watched it.
Yeah.
And when he's just testing out the knife and he's just killing him,
yeah.
It's like, you know, it's sharp. So we that's not that sharp. We need another one.
Yeah, like that's when, like, when he was like sliding it down his tongue, I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
But, like, even so, like, I didn't even give a shit about the guy who was holding the pillow and like sweating and like so scared.
In
I
a
was,
very weird outfit, by the way.
yeah, in a weird BDSM thing. I was just like, I don't even know who you are, and I know you're not important, but I'm scared for your life.
Exactly. Now, we've talked about this in other episodes, would you put him on, like, if you saw him on, like, the, well, I guess to answer my question, because we kind of said this, the AFI, like, villains, like, would you be like, oh, I can see him being on that list?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I would have no issues with
I
it.
think me too, Jimmy.
But we didn't ask Jimmy.
I don't know right now, because I feel like you need to see the full story of, like, Dune. So, like, once again, like,
But
I
we're not
think,
gonna get. We're not gonna see him anymore.
No. But like, if as Dune as a whole, like, I think that like Paul might become one of the biggest villains.
Okay.
If you think of it like that, like out of Dune, yeah. Right now, he's a great villain, but I don't know what's gonna come next. Like,
no,
from the way they're making it set up, that Paul's gonna be like, you know, a huge villain.
I'm not saying he's the biggest villain in Dune.
That's
but
a good point,
I think
though.
But no, yeah, you could be right. Like, I mean, Timotei could like completely like throw him out of the water. But him as a villain, if you're just viewing him as a villain, like, doesn't even have to be in the Dune universe. Like, how do you feel as him as a villain?
I think he's a great villain. Do I think he deserves to be on like a top list? I don't know yet.
Well, also, speaking of bests, I saw this post online. We kind of talked about it, how you think this is one of the best sequels. They had ranked these sequel films with Dune 2, and it was like Empire Strikes Back, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, Dark Knight, Top Gun Maverick, Aliens, Terminator 2, The Godfather 2. Not sure why this is on there, but Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Blade Runner 2049, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Toy Story 2. In this group, do you think it's in the top five, or do you think it's more in the middle of like this? Do you think it is the number one of the
what,
one of
what
the greatest
are the,
sequels?
What are the ones again? And I'll let you know
yeah.
if I think it's
well,
if
go
it's
one,
better.
We'll go
on.
one by one.
Go one by one, and we'll say if it's better, because I know there was
yeah.
at least two or three you said that I'm like, yes, better.
Okay, so Empire Strikes Back.
I like it better than Empire Strikes Back.
I like, yeah, Dune 2 is better.
Yeah, I'll probably say Dune 2 is better, but with all these, it could change just because it's so new and it has to like marinate more. Like I've kind of said that before, but stressing it again. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
No.
Dune's better.
I never saw it, so I can't judge. What about The Dark Knight? I think that's better than Dune 2.
Dark Knight's better.
Dark Knight's better.
I like Dune better.
Interesting. Dune, we're talking about 2, right, in general?
Yeah,
just, okay.
Yeah. I like Dune Part 2 better.
Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick.
As of right now, I don't know. It could be, it could not be. Like, it depends on, like, how I feel moving on, like, as it progresses
Top,
in the
Top
in the
Gun
movie.
Maverick made me, like, I thoroughly enjoyed my entire theatrical experience with Top Gun Maverick.
Because Dune 2 is very similar to Top Gun Maverick, where it's like, I hated the first one. I don't like Top Gun 1. But yet, like, the second one was such an improvement. But, like, whatever good parts of the first one, they kept it or expanded on it. So that's why I'm like, right now, I it's like Empire Strike Back. I can't give an answer, really.
I will say that it's close, but I just still remember the absolute joy of Top Gun Maverick, of watching
mm-hmm.
that. And the surprise, the absolute surprise of how much I loved it.
Aliens.
Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2.
That one's hard.
Is that like a... So we'll call it as like a... Even
I think
right
they're
now?
Just about even.
Terminator 2. I think Dune.
Oh.
Dune.
You want to call it even, Kelly?
I think I have to call it even. I love
Yeah.
Judgment Day.
Godfather Part 2. Hate to admit this, but I haven't seen that either.
I haven't seen it.
Godfather 2.
I haven't seen it.
Don't know why this is on here. I don't know if it was to try and make even numbers on this post, which I'll post online. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Dune 2.
Dune Part 2.
Dune 2.
Blade Runner 2049. Dune 2.
Dune
But
2.
Blade Runner 2049 is a great film. I know I'm in the minority of that.
It's
I know.
All right.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Dune 2.
Dune Part 2.
It's close, but Dune Part 2. Toy Story 2. That's a hard one, like a lot of these, because both are good, but Pixar. So I'm going with Toy Story 2.
Toy Story
Dune,
2.
Dune Part 2.
I will never get over Jessie.
Oh, God, when she left me. What an emotion. Talk about emotions. That's emotion. Anything you want to talk about before we move on to the back of the show?
You know, we are all saying Lord of the Rings, how great that was. That's because they had the same director. If Denis Villeneuve stays with Dune Messiah, which I think he's going to.
I think he will.
It's going to be great. It's like with Star Wars, how like J.J. Abrams set up all these like amazing, like
and
oh,
Rian
this. And Rian Johnson's like, oh, Ray's parents were like no ones. And like this person, I don't care about them anymore. And that, yeah, no, we're not dealing with that. But look at this cool, like, see, no.
No, yeah, that's true.
The press tour, we're talking about the SAG strike. They needed to be on the red carpet because I feel like Zendaya is, you know, doing like everything. She has like a new outfit that everyone's talking about. It's like Margot Robbie.
It was the Barbie press tour
with
too.
Barbie.
Very similar. Okay, time for Uyghur Games. Sorry for the ads. Again, don't like those. But if you don't know the rules, there's the top row and the side row. Each box you kind of have to correlate both subjects. So you're trying to find a movie that fits with both. You know, some people get the higher score. Here on Pop Review, we try to get the lowest score. So the overall score is much higher. Mark Ruffalo, Jesse Plemons begins with the at the top. Kristen Dunst, director Martin Scorsese in release from 2015 to 2020 on the left. Kristen Dunst, Mark Ruffalo.
They've been in a movie together?
It has to be like one.
Why do I want to say Marie Antoinette? But I don't think...
I don't think Mark Ruffalo is in Marie Antoinette.
13 going on 30?
No.
She's not in that.
She's not in that. I'm trying to think of Kirsten Dunst movies because they're easier to narrow down.
I'm thinking of recent two. Power of the Dog? No.
Melancholia?
Maybe he was in Melancholia?
No, that was a Scars.
Should we skip and go
yeah,
something
skip
else?
That one.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh Lord.
Power of the Dog is the one Jesse Plemons and Kristen Dunst
They've
that I can think
lot.
Of.
It wasn't just Power of the Dog. They were in another movie together.
I'm thinking of Leaving or something. I'm thinking of Ending Things. Were they in that?
No.
Together?
No. I don't... Oh, she might have had a little part in that actually.
Was he in that movie Midnight Special?
I don't
the
know.
The one where she's part of like that one of those like. Societies and the kid has special powers and
she might have been. I don't know.
Do we go Power of the Dog or Thinking of Ending Things?
Let's do Power of the Dog.
Okay. Ooh, this is a hard one, guys. Begins with the.
What's that movie she did with Nicole Kidman?
The Beguiled.
The Beguiled.
The Beguile.
B-E-G-U-I.
B-E-G.
You,
the Beguiled.
That's Sofia Coppola, right?
Yeah.
That's Sofia Coppola.
Okay, Martin Scorsese, Mark Ruffalo. Isn't the Departed? Is he in the Departed?
Mark Ruffalo?
Jimmy's starting to
Jimmy, stop breathing like that.
I don't know Mark Ruffalo movies.
Okay, so then Martin Scorsese, Jesse Plemons. That's Killers of Flower Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
And then Martin Scorsese, The Departed, The Wolf of Wall Street,
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
I feel like that's...
Or is it just Wolf of Wall Street, actually? Oh, no. It begins with...
I think
the
it's
Irishman.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah. It's The
Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I figured no one would do that one that bad.
And then released from 2015 to 2020, Mark Ruffalo Spotlight?
Sure.
Okay. Spotlight. We got one Mark Ruffalo, guys. So
Jesse Plemons.
Jesse Plemons.
Oh, I want to put a game night, but I don't
Game.
know
Oh,
if that
I
was
was
after
gonna say.
two. No, it wasn't after
No,
2020.
it's no.
Game
Yeah.
night.
Yeah. Game night.
Game night. I love game night. These ads are
Oh
killing me.
no,
he died. Spoilers.
Whoa,
It's in the
that's way
trailer.
higher than I thought it was gonna be.
Okay, and then begins with the and released from 2015 to 2020. So
What the
hold on, I
fuck?
want to think of a really weird movie that no
The
one
Trial
will
of
ever see.
Chicago 7.
No, how about
The Ringer.
The Ringers before 2015?
Oh, you're right.
What was that one that we saw Rebecca Ferguson with the kid who would be king?
Yeah,
The
the kid who would be
kid.
kid, the kid
The
who would
kid.
be king.
Yeah. Point
Oh yeah.
one. Okay, so Mark Ruffalo, Martin Scorsese.
So hold
So.
on, Mark Ruffalo was oh, you know what? I keep thinking he's in like these British movies, and I'm like, no, that's just Poor Things.
I can't even think of a movie with him and Kirsten Dunst.
I know.
I'm trying to think of Kirsten Dunst movies, and I'm just like, I feel like it's a really obvious one.
It's gonna be one. It's gonna be like 100%. Should we just like should we try The Departed for Mark Ruffalo, Martin Scorsese?
Sure.
And but I really don't think he's in
I
that.
know. I just don't even know what was he in Silence?
I don't know.
Okay, we're going with Departed, I guess. Like okay, Mark Ruffalo, Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst was he in Elizabethtown?
Oh wait.
I have no
Yeah,
idea.
I think so. Because I was gonna say we can't keep the audience
I
waiting.
think he was in Elizabethtown.
Yeah, I think he is. No.
No.
Okay.
Okay, so let's show
No, we
results.
should keep going. Just name
No.
all these.
Okay, so Eternal Splash.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
They were both in
Mind.
that?
How can I forget that? I love that movie.
Wait, they're both in that
They
movie?
play the scientist trying to erase Kate Winslet.
Literally don't.
And then Shutter Island.
Don't.
Oh, that makes sense.
I don't remember him in Shutter Island whatsoever.
He was the other detective with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, we got no percent because we didn't. Oh no, top 39% still. So that's not great on us.
That's
So,
super painful.
MVP, LVP, most valuable player, Jimmy,
Rebecca Ferguson.
Kelly.
Timotei Chalamet.
I couldn't decide between Zendaya and Austin Butler, so I'm going with the two of them. And LVP, least valuable player, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, you know what? That Florence Pugh didn't have a bigger part. Oh,
Kelly. Oh.
I also didn't like the fact that Stellan Skarsgård's character kind of just floated away like he was tied to balloons like half the time.
Well, you knew that from the first one.
No, but there was a scene in this I actually started laughing at
Oh,
the
yeah,
very
he
when he
did.
was naked and he was
No,
when he
no,
was
no.
giving Dave Bautista the necklace thing, and then everyone's
Austin
cheering, and you
Butler.
just see you, no, it was Dave Bautista. And it was at the very beginning, and all of a sudden it zooms
Oh,
out,
he floats away.
and he's just floating away while everyone's cheering, and I was like dying.
Kelly, LVP.
I think the LVP is Jamis because I don't really understand that storyline at all.
He was haunting him through the
Because he's
sand.
like, speak to me. And I'm just like, wait, I'm so confused. Like, why is he so important? He was a dick.
My least favorite player was Dave Bautista's character, or just Dave Bautista. I didn't really love him in this movie. Jimmy, let's do some ratings. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so this score might go up after, enjoying this movie more, but as of right now, I'm gonna give it a 9 out of 10.
Kelly?
Gonna give it a 10.
I'm gonna give it a 10.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm multiplying. Hold on. You
Oh.
said 9 or 9.5?
You know what? Let's just do a 9.5. You convinced me. So altogether, that's a 9.8, and that's compared to an 8.9 IMDb score. Jimmy, do you want to give us some clues to close this out?
It stars Linda Cardellini.
Does it?
It was directed by someone who directed that new John Cena movie on Amazon about where
Say a
John
better
Cena's
movie,
in a
Jimmy.
dress.
What?
And Ricky Stenicki, or whatever the hell it is. One of the Farley brothers directed that. So he's an Oscar-nominated movie directing John Cena in a Catholic ghoul, a Catholic school girl skirt.
Okay, move on, Jim. We gotta move on.
Oh, and I don't know. Car. It should not have won the best picture of the year.
We're also going to say Jimmy has never seen this movie, so that's why his clues are that way. Anyway, stay tuned for obviously that chaotic episode coming up. See you guys later. Bye.
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 Thanks so much for listening. You can hear us anywhere you listen to podcasts, and we want to hear what you think, so leave us a review. Give us some likes on social media at Pop Horror Review. Click around www.pophorrorreview.com. Become a member of our Patreon page, patreon.com/pophorrorreview, for exclusive content and drink recipes. And one last thing before you go, make sure to check out the Titan Media Collective and Titan Cast Network. Enjoy the rest of your Movie Monday.